listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Today we're featuring Helen Bowden, and she's one of the major posters on Faithbook. Now, Faithbook is on Facebook, and she posts thought-provoking, fundamental teaching that I think is worth repeating, and I wanted to have her here on our program. Her previous post said something like this. It's titled, The Sin of Self-Consciousness. When the original humans ate of the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, their first reaction was to become conscious of themselves. Then the next step, further away from the Creator, was judgment of what is right and wrong, as if it were up to them. When they heard God in the garden, the man said, they were afraid and hid themselves because they were naked. God asked them, who told you you were naked? So today we visit with Helen Bowden. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Jim.
So we finally made it together.
Yes, right. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
And so pleased that you invited me, for me to have this opportunity to speak. I'm much more a writer than a speaker, but maybe I'll learn how to speak too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You take Facebook seriously. You post things that are serious, and they ring true in my heart on Facebook. So I'd like to experience that today with you as we talk today.
Talk about God's ways. You know, he says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So he wants to show us his ways. He wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know him as our Father. He is our Father. And he wants us to know that, and to share his life with us, and us share our lives with him. We were created for that purpose. He created us to be in his image and his likeness, and that still stands true today. He still wants that same thing. So for us to learn to enjoy him and his life that he has for us.
Great. I want to talk about how the Lord's way is to test us when we give our lives over to him. He tests us. In Deuteronomy, he said that you remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. So he tests us. He tests Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. He tests Jesus to know for sure what was in his heart. Not that God needed to know what was in his heart, but Jesus needed to know what was in his heart. He needed to know that himself. Of course, God did too. God knows our hearts. But we need to know what's in our hearts.
So this testing is showing what is in us. Okay.
Yes, and so he tests us so that we know. All right, well, the scripture says that God tested the children of Israel in their roaming around for 40 years in the desert. He tested them so that he and they would know what was in their hearts and whether or not they were going to keep his commandments or not. He wants us all to be his. And so he does everything he can for us to become his. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, all that is in the world, are the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's vainglory, the pride of life. And these are the things that are in our hearts because we live in the world. But if we live in a different realm, in the realm of the heavens with God and with his Christ, our Christ, we don't, that's not what is in our heart. We have the love of God in our hearts because he shed his love in our hearts. And I found that when he did that for me, when I was open enough, when I loved him enough, he shed his love in my heart, and it made me able to love others as he loves others. That's the only way that we can love. You know, the scripture says throughout to love one another. You know, they will know you. He said to his disciples, he said, they will know you by your love. If that love is in our hearts and we don't have the desires of the flesh or the eyes or the pride of life, we have him. He's our life. We belong to him. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life are not from the Father, but are from the world. Do not love the world. American English Dictionary, it has, and it's more like desire, strong desires, and rather than lust. But anyway, what I want to point out is that in the garden, not only did he test the children of Israel in the wilderness, and not only did he test Jesus in his wilderness, but he tested Adam, the first Adam, in the garden. He was in a beautiful garden. But he tested him in this certain way about these desires that we have, these human nature desires, which he gave, you know, he gave them to us. Anyway, he tested the first Adam and the last Adam, who was Jesus, in the same way, with the same three temptations. And these temptations in the wilderness, in the garden, these temptations determine the future, how we respond to the temptations, I should say, I guess. How we respond to the temptations will determine the future. And his sons of God, we are to be made his sons, his children, more than just his children and his servants. We're to be his sons as Jesus was. If we walk in the way that Jesus walked, and he said for us to follow him, the world is waiting for the revelation or the manifestation of the sons of God. It says that in the book, the letter to the Romans, that Paul wrote to the Romans.
Good.
And I just was reminded that in scripture that have been stated so much lately is that the whole world groans for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. And so how we respond to his testing determines when that revealing will come and what will happen in the future. So anyway, the way that he tests Adam to eat of life, to eat of the tree of life, just enjoy life. And that's what he wants us to do, is to enjoy life. He's given us a beautiful garden to live in, and he wants us to enjoy it. And for him to eat of anything that's in the garden except for one thing, the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge, having the knowledge of what is right and wrong or good and evil. But the woman that he sent to Adam, she looked at the tree
and it looked really good for food, which was her desire for her flesh. And she kept looking at the tree, and she said, "It's a delight to my eyes. I'm enchanted with its beauty, the lust, desire of the eyes." And she looked at it even more. She did. She was just enchanted with it. And she said, "Oh, and it's so desirable to make one wise. I can be like God."
Satan spoke with her. That's what the Bible says. He spoke with her and appealed to her reasoning. Okay, how about get back in here what you're saying?
And so she took the fruit and she ate and she gave it to her husband and he ate it. And immediately they became self-conscious. They realized that they were naked. Before that time, they only ate of life and not about what was good or bad or what I should do or what I shouldn't do or anything else. And that's how God wants us to live, to just enjoy life and not be concerned about what's going on, you know, just enjoy in peace. But Adam was corruptible. And unfortunately, I say unfortunately, however, this is God's plan for us to be born offspring of Adam and corruptible. And this is part of his plan for us to overcome. And that's something else I want to talk about a little bit in a few minutes. But he wants us to overcome being corruptible by the things of the world, by our desires and wants and all that. And so then I want to tell you how the last Adam, Jesus, who became Christ, was tempted in the same three ways. He saw with his eyes the kingdoms of the world. He could see all around him and saw all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory that could be his. But he knew he was to worship and serve the Lord only, and not himself, not what he wanted, but what the Lord wanted. And secondly, he was hungry. And so he thought that he could turn the stone to bread, the desire of his flesh. But he knew that man does not live by bread alone, but on the word of God, the life of God, the spirit of God. It's all the same. The word of God is the spirit of God. And number three, his third temptation. He stood on the pinnacle of a temple and thought, "I'm the Son of God. I can throw myself down and he will give his angels charge over me and bear me up." The pride of life, he thought, because, you know, I'm the Son of God. So I can do whatever I want, and God will take care of me. But he knew that he could not put God to the test and tempt God. He couldn't tempt him. Jesus was sent, born to establish the kingdom on earth, to reveal himself to the sons of God. And he did not fail. He passed the test because he was incorruptible. And when we are willing to live and move and have our being in him, to be born of God, born again, we are his offspring. No longer the offspring of the carnal, natural man at the first Adam, but we're offspring of God. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, he tells us that, he says, "I stand at the door and knock. And if you will open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you and you with me." But then he goes on to say, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on the throne. And so, what did he overcome? He said, for anyone who overcomes, I will sit down with him on my throne, as I also overcame. What did he overcome? He tells us that for us to be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He overcame the love of the world and loved only his Father.
Ooh, I like that scripture. Yes, yes. I like it in the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Ooh, wonderful scriptures. Yes.
I don't think I ever, yes, maybe I did. Anyway, that is because there's so much I want to say. But anyway, all the work of God from the beginning, from Genesis all the way through to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, all of his work that he has done, all of these tests, all of this, you know, I don't know how he could put up with us. How could he possibly put up with us in our ignorance? And he did come to a point where he decided he wasn't going to put up with it anymore, and he was going to flood the whole earth, which he did. But he found one man who trusted him, one man who believed that he was who he said he was. And so he found Noah and had Noah build the ark. But everybody else, or Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives, all escaped. But everybody else on the whole earth, which it wasn't nearly as populated as it is now, of course, but it was populated. The whole earth was populated. And everybody drowned. Everybody drowned. Can you imagine? There were, what, 8 people only on the earth? Or however long. But anyway, he did get just sick and tired of the way people were. He said that there is nothing but evil in the hearts of man. Nothing but evil. And so he said, you know, I'm going to get rid of you all. And he did, except for 8 people. But then another time was when Jesus came, when Jesus was born. He decided, rather than killing everybody, they could give everybody life. Because when we're born, offspring of Adam, we are dead. Because didn't he say that if you eat of this fruit, if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you surely will die? Well, yes. And some people say he went to sleep, that he slept. But he actually, his spirit died. He didn't physically die, but his spirit died and is asleep. And our spirit, because we are born of him, this is his offspring, our spirit is dead until we are willing to come to God, to come to the Lord, to come to the Christ. Christ is our life. He came to give us life instead of wiping us out. He came to give us life. And mortality What does mortality mean? What does mortal mean? That means dead. If you're mortal, you're dead. So he came to make mortals immortal, giving us life, waking us up, showing us who we are, showing us who he is. And I'll finish by reading from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, if you open the way for me to come in, I will come in and I'll dine with you. And to him who overcomes, as I overcame, as I overcame. What did he overcome? He overcame the wall. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the wall. But to him who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So that the first step is to let him in the door. And he'll come in and dine with us. He'll just feed us all sorts of wonderful, wonderful life. He will feed us of this life that he made possible for us through Jesus Christ. And then, but then there's another step that you can take if you want to follow him. As he, Jesus said, follow me. If you want to follow him, then overcome the world as Jesus did. And we overcome the world by being tested, given in these all these temptations that we have to please ourselves. And I believe that I'll stop there and just pray and give thanks. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in this place, to play my part, to do your instrument, an instrument of your peace and your love and your life. I thank you for all that you have led me to over all these years and have me in the right place, place me in the right place at the right time, teaching me to fly. I praise you and I thank you. And I thank Jim for this opportunity. And all the people who are listening, thank you for listening. I do hope that I've made it clear and that many, many people will hear the Lord in what I have said, not hear me necessarily, but to hear my Lord. And that if he's not already here, I do hope that you will open the door and let him in, and he will feed you. He will feed you good rich things as he has fed me. Thank you and amen.
There's a way when you feel you cannot make it. There is a way when you think you just can't take it. This very day, there's a way with the Lord. There is a peace that passes all understanding. We have a God that can lift His mighty hand and make us a way where there was none before. Well, I know sometimes you feel that your burden is just too great to bear. You look around for someone to help you, and nobody seems to care. We have a God that can move any mountain. He is the King, and His love's a flowing fountain this very day. There's a way with the Lord. I have seen the sick and the lame begin to walk, and I've seen them restored to health. And I have seen the impoverished man brought from rags and want to wealth. There is a way when you feel you cannot make it. There is a way when you think you just can't take it this very day. There's a way with the Lord. There's a way with the Lord.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
If you would like to follow Helen Bowden, our guest today, you can find her on Facebook, a page on Facebook.
In the midst of my confusion, in the time of desperate need, when I am thinking not too clearly . A gentle voice does intercede. Slow down, slow down, be still. Be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down.